The big moment has arrived. The Chris Moyle Show. Our guest today is 50 Cent. Yes!
Woo! Good morning, sir.
Good morning, man.
Good morning, 50 Cent.
It's been a long time, man.
It has been a long time. How are you?
It's great, man. It feels good, man. How's Tess doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah, man. Tell the family I send my love.
I will. And thank you for everything that you've sent us. And it's lovely to see you outside. It's lovely to see you at work.
Yeah, man. I'm back in motion. You know, I had more time on this actual album to prepare myself. So, you know, I'm excited about this presentation. You know, because I had additional time, I wrote, produced, and directed my first film project. And it's being distributed within the actual CD package, mm-hmm. you know, my directorial debut. But I got a lot of things happening. I started my own film company, Cheetah Vision.
One thing that always amazes me, 50, is you came onto the scene as a rapper that everyone was talking about.
Right.
Okay, you hit the ground running, quite literally. You know, you had Dr. Dre in your corner, Eminem as well.
Yeah.
And now the whole 50 Cent brand, so to speak,
is expanding.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I'm active. I've been more interested in brand extension, obviously, than M and Dre. You know, they made so much money off of music that they didn't even bother to look at the other money. They was like, why? You know, like, you know, and for me, like, when I came out with Get Rich or Die Trying, I mean, it was a whirlwind of excitement for me. You know, having your debut album, your first album, be the largest debut in hip-hop album, and it goes on to sell 12 million records, it's like, wow, you know. And, you know, having them around me helped me.
How do you look after yourself? How do you keep everything self-contained? How do you stop your ego just exploding when you've got an album like that? I mean, when I first met you, you just signed the deal for the Vitamin Water campaign, you know, and all that, and then you got the shoe company as well, and loads of things. How do you keep yourself to yourself, so to speak?
Well, you know, like, because I've had people around me who've had more success. Like, people forget Eminem, that Marshall Mathers LP sold 23 million records. So it made me feel like I was a work in progress and that, you know, I could be bigger. You know, and I constantly worked at writing new material and I put it out, even for promotional purposes, because I kind of feel like it's just working out. It's training for the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make sure that the actual project, when I release it commercially, is right. And this album, for me, because there's a balance between creating a great album for me, just because of my presentation initially, the aggression translated so strong that I have to have the right material that isn't commercial music.
Well, I've listened to the album a couple of times, okay, 50 Cent, before I self-destruct, and this seems probably the most personal stuff that you've ever written.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff on there, not only personal stuff with your family background and this, that, and the other, but also other people. I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of people in there who, if they listen to the album, are going to think, I'm almost sure that's about me.
That's going to happen a lot.
It's not about you, is it, Vern?
No. Hey, we get on fine.
Fine.
We get on fine. Okay.
Just checking.
But I listen to it in a small space. I listen to it in my car, okay, about half a dozen times. And I'm listening over and over again, and I'm thinking, this is unbelievable. You've literally opened up to the world, and you've written everything down and put beats behind it.
Yeah.
Is that something? Is it like going to a confession? Do you want to just get it all out there, clear the air, or is it something that you want to start over again?
It's pretty tough for me to write, Vern, if I'm not writing something that comes from somewhere with me.
But like, this is deep.
Yeah, like that record for me, like So Disrespectful. I dealt with people that I've supported that turned on me. I felt like I wrote. Then days went by. I wrote about people having vices around me, like. I didn't drink because I'm an extremist, Ferns, obviously. You see how much I work, almost like a workaholic.
Yeah,
but if I get high, I'm going to get really high.
Right.
Like, I understand, so I stay away from it completely. I just know myself, my character.
And it works for you, so that's the way you go.
So I totally try. I stay away from it as much as possible. I don't even put myself in the same vicinity with it because I know, like, I don't believe I'll be able to control it. I've seen some people be functional addicts.
Right.
And I don't believe I'm one of those people.
So are you when you go on stage, I would imagine at the moment, that's the ultimate high for you, performing
the
in front of a live.
First 30 seconds, I am completely scared.
Really? I don't believe
still?
That.
Still?
Yeah, it takes like 30 seconds into the first song before something mechanical starts
to kick
in. And I'm just like, I'm the same guy from the last 50 shows performing.
But it's good though to still have those nerves, I suppose. You know, right, I mean, all these years on.
I think if you don't have it, you should stop.
Yeah.
You know, I think then you no longer care about how the audience receives your performance, because there's a difference in every audience. There's different people there, and they're in different positions and spaces, so they influence each other differently. So the excitement is different in every room.
I'll tell you what, when we were in Palm Beach and I witnessed your show live in full effect with everyone around you, all the effects on stage in the amphitheater that was there, beautiful arena actually, I couldn't believe the atmosphere. Okay, because I've been to rock gigs, and I've been to a few rap gigs, few R&B gigs before, but the atmosphere, the tension in the air before you came on stage was something that I've never experienced before, and it really took me aback. I was like, whoa!
You know, it's interesting, out of all the places that I performed, I choose anywhere but America.
What, as your favourite places?
Yeah.
So America's never high on your list of favourites to perform?
No, it was it in my head until I had a chance to tour internationally and see, you know, what was there. Like, even the Curtis album for me, like, that project was an artist album where I collaborated with Justin Timberlake, with Mary J. Blige, with Nicole from Pussycat Dolls, Akon, Eminem, Robin Thicke. Like, there's a bunch of artists that I collaborated with to try and find a new space, a new sound. And if you listen to AO Technology, I use a cadence for that record that I don't use on any other of my records, because this is a tempo and production that would probably be something more commonly used by Justin than 50 Cent.
Right. Yeah.
But it just felt good when we was in there together collaborating, so we made the record.
How does it work? Going back to what Vernon was saying about the album and being sort of very personal from a writing perspective, when you've got your fingers in so many pies, you know, and we're talking about movies, we're talking about music, we're talking
everything.
About the games,
clothing.
Everything, you know, and you must be left, right and centre from one meeting to the other and jetting around the world.
Sorry to interrupt, Dave. You know what's going to happen?
What?
Right? People are going to walk into sections of land and it will be "You're Now Breathing Air" by 50 Cent.
Welcome to 50 Cent County.
Yes.
but the thing is, when you're doing all of this, do you find, are you writing constantly, or do you have to sort of pigeonhole it, i.e. will you kind of say, right, we're going to promote the movie until Christmas and then I'm going to write for, do you do it in sections, or is it a constant system?
Well, I'm wherever I'm inspired. Like, you might see me on the airplane,
just sort of jot some stuff down,
and you'll look at me and I'll be writing on something that ain't even a notepad,
a napkin or something.
And I'll be putting my ideas down at that point. And you know what it's like for me? I didn't have the luxury of always writing in a studio. You know,
I've seen it. I've witnessed it. You know, whenever 50 and the gang go on tour, they have mobile studios.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have a mobile truck that I had.
It's awesome.
Done that. And now, like, when for the end of the year, from December 27th till February, when I start touring, I'll be on movie sets, because I got a film project called A Gun. It's set to star myself and Val Kilmer, and I actually wrote the screenplay this time. So I'm excited about that. And following that, I start Jekyll and Hyde as myself and Forrest Whitaker. Abel Ferrara is directing that project. And then I'll be back touring. But for that time period in Michigan, I'll have my mobile studio out there. So I'll record in between time, you know.
On the rare occasion that you do get a day off, and I would imagine that that's very rare, what do you do? If someone says, right, Saturday you're doing nothing, what do you do?
I do something that would, for relaxation, it could be considered research for work. Because I still have the same things that you enjoy when you're relaxing. So I might sit back and just watch television and be inspired to write something, or inspired to do something. Something like what I'm watching in film. It's so exciting to have the ability to say, I want to make something like this. Even if it's not me, if I don't have the capability of doing it, to say, I want to make that show.
I can imagine you walking into the kitchen, you know, like, with a juicer and going, you know what? I'm going to make up a new flavor for my vitamin water.
You know what I do? How about I be walking in with the juicer saying, I want to make a new juicer.
There you go. All right, we'll play Baby By Me by 50 Cent, today's guest, and then we'll have more chat after this.
Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire.
Baby By Me, 50 Cent, today's guest.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we've had an off-air conversation where...
It's... Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing insight.
We talked about what tracks are on this album, and we talked about what tracks have been on previous stuff, previous material, and how this one is more honest because it's all about the past.
Right.
Where you're able to talk about the past because people now know who you are, 50 Cent,
right,
so to speak.
They know that I made some money.
Yeah. You know, and you don't have to think about bling and cash and all that kind of stuff.
That was why it was more important for me to focus on how far I've came and the struggle. You'll see a significance in it. And when you get to that point, because you got so many artists that are writing a lifestyle that they inspire to live, they're not actually living that life. Mm. And this is why they require things that they don't have for their presentation, meaning the nice cars, those pretty girls, and the really hot mansion in the video. Yeah. And then they say cut, and everybody goes home. Because you're not really in that space.
Mm. Go home to reality.
But they desperately want to be in that space.
Right. You know? And while they're writing the luxury that I've achieved over the last 6 years, the financial space, I'm writing the struggle.
So they want everything.
The opposite. Yeah.
They want everything too fast, don't they? That's the thing. You know, well, they want it straight away. They want it now, you know? And
But it kind of makes me feel funny to say that when we say they, because I was a part of that.
Like
in the beginning. In the beginning, to be honest with you, in 90s, I thought I was ready in 97.
We've seen the In The Club video.
I thought I was hot in 1997, and only people in 10 blocks around me understood. You know what I mean? Like in a 10 block radius there, I had a little cool on me in 97. And then 99, like when Jam Master Jay's touring schedule was too hectic for him to, you know, focus on me, I went to work with Columbia Records in 99, and I mean, it didn't work there neither. Like, I was there, but at least I had the opportunity of...
But I tell you what, they must be like this now. No!
Yeah, they're kicking themselves in the ass, because they let me... in 09, like, when I went there, I mean, in 99, I wrote How to Rob. You know, you don't get a second chance at a first impression, and that song is still remembered in different ways because of what I decided to do on that. And man, it worked out. Like after I got shot, at least they let me come to the building. I was in the building every day like an intern. They just couldn't send me to the store.
Oh, okay.
So I knew it. I knew everybody's job function. I knew who was working, who wasn't working. This is how I started to learn, like, the music business. There ain't no school for this.
No. You got experience.
Yeah. But also,
so how's the transgression from having hit albums, hit singles, into movies? How has that happened? Has that been something that's always been at the back of your mind?
You know, I think it's the storytelling process that I'm infatuated with right now. Like, I've had to tell you a story in 3 minutes on every song that I've offered. You know, and now this is giving me 90 minutes. I feel like I have years to tell you what I have to tell you in the actual screenplay. So when I wrote Before I Self-Destruct the film, it allowed me to develop cause and effect, reasoning for a person to, you know, to create an example of how a person regresses to the point that the things that I'm saying on the actual record are factual, and it doesn't feel abnormal, the behaviors. Like, the character I play, Clarence, in the actual film, he's killing people, and it feels like it's the norm. Because the pressure that was placed on him before he actually broke and started to kill people made him feel like it was the only option. Mm. And the audience felt that also. So there was points that I screened the film in like 15 and really big movie theaters in 15 different markets while I was on promo tour. And the audience was clapping when he made the first kill. And that's when I know that I developed the story properly. That they understood the pressure that he was going through before. They had some compassion for the lead character before he actually went off into the wrong direction.
And to be able to do that, and to be able to do that successfully, tell a story not only in 3 minutes, but also 90 minutes, I mean, the world's your oyster, really,
it
if you look
good.
At movies.
Like, I mean, in film, you know, it's absolutely limited. There's no limitations at all. I mean, like, there's... I said that wrong. I said it's limited. There's absolutely
unlimited.
No
unlimited.
Yes, unlimited. And there's standards that's placed on music that don't even exist in film. Like, the things that they would say is wrong with hip-hop culture, there's a movie as representation of it.
There's a movie in it, yeah, exactly. All right, definitely. And on a lighter note, we recently read Dave and I, and we couldn't believe this, about this 25 grand that you carry on yourself. Is that true?
I usually have a few dollars with me.
But $25,000? That's more than a few.
Okay. Yeah, baby. Oh, you the man.
God, you really have.
I knew it, and it's just been clarified.
Dave, grab the coat.
No.
Blimey.
Hang on, have you seen the size of him?
Grab the coat. Hey, listen, do you know...
How often do you work out? How often do you go to the gym?
I try to get in there at least 4 times a week.
Right.
Out the week. Because I try...
The boy's ripped.
I be traveling a lot, so that'd be working me out before I can get to the gym.
Dave, you won't be able to get within... Tight. 5 inches of that.
Oh, look at that over there. Yeah. Quick, Dave, go.
Go, get it.
There's not a chance. I mean, do you know what? Okay, I will try and sit a bit closer over here to... Yeah. Yeah. I'll see him, but it's just not happening.
Have you seen the Christmas tree?
It's not happening.
50, I like the way you roll.
I'm trying to do it, you know?
That is quality. Absolute quality. Mine would be all tatty. You know, a fiver stashed in the corner of me wallet.
I mean, if we just...
Those were crisp!
If we compare, Vernon, right? Look at that. That's pitiful, isn't it? Yeah. I've got a contact lens.
Yeah. I've See, got there you go.
A 20 quid and a 5p in my house keys.
There you go.
It's not
unbelievable. What do you think of the British music scene at the moment? I mean, Dizzy Rascal flying, yeah, yeah, doing all kind of different remixes with Armin van Helden and what have you. And
I see, you know, I see people making that effort to grow hip hop culture. You know what I'm saying? Like those collaborations with Dizzy Rascal and the guy you just mentioned. And a lot of times, like, I did the same thing. I did it with Wisin Yandel. Because I was recently in a lot of Spanish-speaking markets. I did Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Medellin, Colombia, and Brazil, and Chile. And while I was out there, like, we were actually collaborating with each other. And then we came back, and they did a remix to Rider Part 2.
Right.
During the TOS album from G-Unit Records, so... I went back and we did Mujeres in the club. So, you know, I look forward to doing some type of collaboration with an artist out here, the right artist, though. Hmm. I have to figure out who is that person. Or
Folk Fest, I do believe, are available, Dev.
Do you know what? Possibly. We possibly have availability. This is a band that myself and Dominic next door have. But I'm not sure that you and Folk would be the right collaboration. But
I'm sure that 50 could lay down some rhymes.
Maybe.
To the old Folk Fest back in Troy.
Well, maybe we'll work on it after Christmas. I mean, talking of, how do you spend Christmas? What's the plan now? When you get back, will you have a big sort of family kind of Christmas? Or?
Well, you know, I'll be exhausted during Christmas from playing Santa Claus. You know? And that is like, I gotta run around and try to find things for these people. Yeah. And it's interesting, like, there's certain people that I have to pick what is purchased for them in my life, and other people I can send people out to just buy something and it's cool.
To be honest with you, with what we've just seen, you can buy whatever you want.
I mean, when you say, have you been good this year, I'd imagine that most people say yes, don't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we have, Mr.
Yes. Yeah. What's your favourite sport? What sports do you follow? I see you're wearing a Kansas City Chiefs hat.
Yeah, well, you know, this is just really for the outfit. I ain't a big
you're not a big Kansas fan.
So, but are you football, baseball, ice hockey, basketball?
Well, I like to watch different sports. You know what's interesting? And I probably shouldn't say this, but I really enjoy the finals.
Right. I thought you would, because we've been talking about the World Cup finals.
Yeah. Like,
and obviously you collaborated with Ashley Cole and Rio Ferdinand on a movie. Did you get to see any football games?
I'm going to see a football game tomorrow.
Who are you going to go and see?
Manchester United.
Who are they playing, Dev?
Good question. I knew you were going to ask me that. Hang on.
Is it Blackburn? For some reason, Blackburn coming right. You'll enjoy that. Is it in Manchester?
It's going to be big, yeah.
Oh, it's a great stadium as well and a great atmosphere. Quick, Dev, quick.
Hang on.
81199.
The race to see.
You can tell we're both not Man United fans.
Tomorrow they have got...
We've got Arsenal.
West Ham.
West Ham. Oh, that'd be a good game.
Yeah, West Ham away.
Oh, okay, so it's at Upton Park.
Oh, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah,
you'll have a great time.
That's the side of London that you probably haven't seen.
I'll tell you what, when you go to said stadium to see Man United play West Ham, you will see, especially Upton Park, football, soccer, in its greatest form.
Mm. Yeah.
You really will.
I want to see it. You know, every place that I go internationally, soccer means so much more than all that other sports. You know, like, in the US, basketball is big. You know, the football is big. It's a different game. It's not even the same soccer.
But when you go to South America or Africa or Asia,
the rest
or whatever,
of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I mean, soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, is everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's so big. Like, I actually was shooting a movie in Morocco. And it's amazing what they do. Like, all they need is a ball.
A football.
And yeah, it was so many kids out there. It was like 200, 300 kids. They just came together, and I was like, where the hell did they come from? Because in the area we was in, there was no houses, no nothing. Mm. It came from wherever they was coming from. They met up out there to play.
That's football for you. But Upton Park will be a great introduction.
And you know what?
Premier League.
It'll be interesting, obviously, because I would imagine that you're going as a guest of Rio, who's obviously Manchester United. He used to play for West Ham as well. So this would be, you know, going back to his old club. So it'd be interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, cool. Listen, 50, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you again. The album, 50 Cent, Before I Self-Destruct, you have to get it because it's a great introduction to 50's life and everything that you've been through prior to all that cash that's in your pockets. It's a great story. So it's highly recommended from us here on The Breakfast Show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. 50 Cent, everyone.
Thank you.
Chris Moyle Show with Vernon in the studio while Chris is in Uganda.